What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm your host, Kyle French. Today is September 28th, and this episode, we'll be breaking down Room 25 by No Name and East Atlanta Love Letter by Black, two sophomore albums from two rising stars in the industry. I'm also going to recap my experience attending J. Cole's KOD tour. Hit up that concert this past Wednesday in Hartford, and it was electric, so I'll break down the opening acts and how I thought Cole went about conducting the concert and interacting with the fans, and basically I'll give you all the reasons why you should definitely go if it is coming to your city soon. And then, of course, we close things off with our staples, Song of the Week and new music announcements. We had some huge ones coming down the pipeline just last night. So we'll get to all of that. If you're enjoying the show, first off, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and on the Apple Podcast app. That'll really help the show take off and get better as we move forward. You can also follow me on Instagram at hiphopent, HIPHOPENTH. That is the best way to contact me as well if you want to hit me up about music. If you're putting out music, you want me to give you honest feedback on it, whatever it is, you can find me on Instagram at hiphop and daily content going up on there as well. So with that being said, let's get into it today. First album we're going to take a look at is Room 25 by No Name. This was released 2 weeks ago on September 14th. No Name is a Chicago female rapper, 27 years old. Originally went by the name No Name Gypsy, but has since dropped the second word there from her name. So she's strictly No Name. She's made appearances on Chance the Rapper's Acid Rap and Coloring Book mixtapes, so you may recognize her voice from either of those two projects. She's also frequently collaborated with Mick Jenkins, Saba, Smino. The last two actually appear on this album, Room 25, and were on her last album, Telephone. A very tight-knit trio there, and they're frequently on each other's tracks. And I love listening to their music, and I hope they keep doing so moving forward. Her name, No Name, always provokes questioning. And honestly, as one of my favorite origin stories behind it in rap, the idea behind it is that she doesn't want to be confined by any labels or brands or ideas, and also imagines that her music could be coming out of any person. So without boxing herself into any idea, as small as we would think a name is, it does give more character than to you not having a name, obviously. And she likes to play off the fact that, you know, you could walk down the street and see a stranger and to you, that's No Name. Like, she's trying to establish herself more as an idea than a person, which I think is, like, really cool and a true display of artistic freedom. Her debut album came in 2016 in the form of Telephone, and this album gave us a clear idea and a picture of who No Name is, with her poetry-inspired rhymes, socially driven subject matter, and her focus on her hometown city of Chicago. She came across as wise and intellectual, but also fairly innocent and safe and clean. And on Room 25, this new album she's just released, we see her grow up for the better and the worse, as it seems to have brought her new experiences and new ideas to talk about, but it's also brought her to more of a crossroads inside her. She's gone through more pain and come to more realizations about the world around her. The primary themes on here are her continued commentary on social issues in urban communities. Obviously, like her hometown, Chicago, she uses as an example very often. And that we could see, that's kind of to be expected. And also, the other topic here is her falling out of a passionate relationship that has left her unsure of herself. And although these are our main conversation pieces on Room 25, the album as a whole, I think, speaks more to self-belief and assurance more than anything else. We get a great sense of this as the album progresses, but it makes itself very known on the first track of the album. That is the intro, Self. And she starts the song by listing possible topics that the album could be about, like questioning religion, various family issues, the Reagan administration. Maybe this will be about proving that women can rap too, along with men. She's basically hypothesizing in the listener's mind, like, oh, I wonder what this is going to be about, what she's going to talk to, what she's going to deliver to me. But then she quickly snaps us out of that by completing the thought saying, nah, this is for me, implying that this album is more for her personal therapy than for our consumption. She also quickly opens our eyes to her new experiences and slight abandonment of her innocent tendencies. with the line, "Fuck your rapper homie, now his ass is making better music," and then using the word pussy about 4 times in the final 2 bars of the song. And Telephone was an extremely clean album, so immediately we know the last 2 years is different. It stirred up some type of change in her. This definitely, like, I perked up when I heard that. I was like, No Name? Am I listening to the right album? Is this the girl that I knew on Telephone? And it is. And it's not like she's all of a sudden dirty and raunchy or anything like that. Like, this isn't a Nicki Minaj or Cardi B album or anywhere close. But just given how innocent and clean she came across, even the slightest difference kind of piqued my ears. And what hasn't changed, though, is her poetic lyricism, her cheerful tone. She floats over these instrumentals with gentle whispers that always sound like she's smiling when recording. It's infectious. It makes you smile just simply by listening to it. And she's always had, like, this soft-spoken delivery style, but it seems like she's even taken that to another level, as sometimes she's whispering so quietly and calmly that it's almost hard to understand the words that are coming out of her mouth. But it is a very soothing delivery style, and she maintains a similar sound and style across the whole project, in large thanks to Felix, who produced pretty much every track on here and even served as the hook on a couple songs, which he performed very well. But he brings this tender minimalism with light organic harmonies ringing throughout. It's nothing intense or extreme. It's always low-key, calming, and that really matches No Name's soft character. And then moving on from that intro self, we get immediately 2 of her more political and social-related contexts here, and we get Blaxploitation and Prayer Song. Blaxploitation has this plucky rhythmic bass line that is really sweet running under it the whole time, and No Name is kind of dropping slick one-liners about black stereotypes and this and that, and even exposes Hillary Clinton for pandering to African Americans during election season simply for her personal gain. And I love how she delivers it, because it's like she's poking fun and like joking around, but in actuality she's also like dead serious, which is almost even funnier. And then the next song, Prayer Song, takes a much more serious note with this grave chorus full of like woeful realizations. The line that probably stood out to me most was, "America the great, this grateful dead in life for me, apple pie on Sunday morning, obesity and heart disease." And she's basically like exposing the false idea that America has her best interests in mind. She uses apple pie, which is like a very patriotic symbolism to it. Apple pie is just such like an American thing. But then she says, you know, if I eat apple pie, I just get obesity and heart disease. It's like the negative aspects of it that are never really talked about are the ones that are actually going to kill you, even though up front it stands for like this glorious, like, you know, patriotic pride. And I mean, it's a dessert, it's apple pie, right? Like, it's sweet. And basically the idea is that she's like relating that to America itself, saying it stands for like these great values and says it's great, but on the back end, is it really? And so these 2 tracks definitely play into that social mind state that No Name is often in. But we quickly then move out of it and get into the more personal tracks, like Window, where she's struggling to come to terms with this relationship that's ended, kind of going back and forth between like, I don't care about you, but really, really you didn't love me, is what she keeps saying. And she's trying to like push it away, but really it's like getting, it's closer to her and eating her up more than anything. And then we get to like her low point here, which is Don't Forget About Me. And on this track, she's trying to like understand how her impact of her music has been saving lives. Now people say that her music is saving lives, but she doesn't, it's hard for her to understand, because despite it seemingly being so great and helping other people, she feels like it's barely even helping herself. And she's really like in the depths on this one. And she prays that her family won't forget about her and acknowledges the fragility of her life. We really see her as confused and broken and unsure of herself. But then this all quickly takes a turn for the better as she all of a sudden regains her confidence on Regal and even dreams of a new love on Montego Bay, kind of proving she's finally moved on, is now looking forward to her next love instead of struggling to come to terms with her last. This all climaxes on the track Ace, which features the 2 names I mentioned earlier, Smino and Saba. It's a massive highlight, with all 3 feeling extremely self-confident and just riffing leisurely about the joys of their careers. If there was one song I would suggest to listen to individually, it would be this one for sure. It works inside the album and as a standalone track. if there were going to be any singles from this album, I got to think it would have to be Ace. And then closing out the album, we get songs like Part of Me and With You, which really reinforce that idea that she's kind of found solace within herself. She's regained that self-belief and self-confidence that she seemed to have lost. And we end the album on a fairly happy note. It's a quick 32 minutes diving into kind of all the things that's happened over the past couple years. She named it Room 25, I believe in reference to her age 25. She's been pretty open about that. And then the room part, I think she's kind of just kind of trying to personify it as a space itself instead of a time period. It's like a place that she found these things and discovered these things as opposed to like a lengthened time period. That's how I feel like it's supposed to be interpreted, but she hasn't been super clear about it. And part of that not being super clear about everything did hurt this album. I like her poetic style and how she can make these work these really cool metaphors into her music. But some lyrics were a little bit overly cryptic, such as the track Part of Me. It kind of just muddied up the message. And combined with the fact that she's speaking really quietly and you have to really pay attention just to hear her words, like there's multiple levels of decoding and understanding you have to go through just to kind of wrap your head about what she's talking about. And that is a sign of, you know, a good artist being able to do that. You don't want to be super upfront and clear, but at times it is a little bit overly cryptic. And I like her tone and her really gentle whispery delivery. It's not a lot of people are working with an approach like that, but I do wish we could get some oomph behind a few songs just to add another level of animation and emotion to them. And then occasionally I felt like she was skating by to agree with like packing her main points, her powerful statements into just a few bars while the rest of some of these tracks felt a little bit unused. And it was like the tracks made their statement, but in a very small portion. And some of it was a little bit like just the extra words hanging out. Possible things were going over my head, but that's just the feeling I got. Either way, a very nice album. A lot of soulful and meaningful messages come through. I don't think it'll have much replay value demanding my ear over and over, but well worth a few attentive listens. Best tracks on here would be Don't Forget About Me, Ace, No Name, and Self. My least favorite tracks were Regal and Montego Bay. I would recommend this album to you if you like Lauryn Hill, Saba, or Smino. And overall rating, I'm giving Room 25 by No Name a 7.5 out of 10. And I'll give you guys a sample play clips of two tracks here. I'm going to play from the lowest moment on the album, Don't Forget About Me, and the highest, Ace, kind of give you the floor and the ceiling of where No Name is at with her range on this album. So here we go, Don't Forget About Me and Ace from her recent album, Room 25.
Your family looking like a prison. Your mama at the table crying all her head gone. Feeling fishy, finding chemo, smoking seaweed for cone. These Disney movies too close. You title email, no name, thank you for your sweet telephone. It saves lives. The secret is I'm actually broken. I tried to raise a healer, kneeling at the edge of the ocean. Somebody said it saves lives. Who holds my hand at night? I think the glass half full. Who bring me back to Inglewood? I shouldn't bleed this good. Holy conundrum. I'm the prayer to hope the bank account. Wishing bone for my loved ones. Tell them no name, still don't got no money. Tell them no name, almost passed out drinking. Secret is she really think it saves lives. Somebody hit D'Angelo, I think I need him on this one. Brothers and sisters, mamas, cousins, uncles, everyone missing somebody. Dancing daylight. I know everyone goes someday. I know my body's fragile, know it's made from clay. But if I have to go, I pray my soul is still eternal. And my mama don't forget about me. I pray my mama don't forget about me. Fragile, no, it's made from clay. But if I have to go, I pray my soul is still eternal. And my mama don't forget about me. I pray my mama don't forget about me. I pray my daddy won't forget about me.
Blokes. Whiskey with the team, got it bubbling. I got trees in my luggage. I got teams out of London. Hope UK. What you say? Fuck is you say?
What they say? I've been at the Ace Hotel. You gotta tell me something.
Fuck is you say?
I've been on the way. What you saying? I'm making runs.
I'm out on track. I'm in this field. I'm shocked you put me in my field. She ready? Clap, 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 clappity, clap, clap, out and clap it. Swerving the crash if the pillow ain't your passion. She think I'm a liar like the old Obama kid. After all, never heard it so country so slick. But the skin smooth and these shoes contradict. You can hop right off of my country. Team got it bubbling. I got trees in my luggage. I got teams out of London. Hope you care what you say. Fuck is you say?
What they say? I've been at the Ace Hotel. You gotta tell me something.
Fuck is you say?
I been on the way. What you saying? I'm making runs.
Not greasy, no name aside, but the best rappers and radio niggas sound like they wearing adult diapers. And globalization scary and fucking is fantastic. And frankly, I find it funny that Morgan is still acting. Bruce Almighty, Aphrodite and Domino's, yummy biscotti, tamale. Overmatching my undertones, running the dolly. Chicago overzealous with talent though. West Side get the money, it's still a classic. Moving to LA now, I'm sipping on Sunny D, and my nigga is hella pleased. And I bought me a better pen, so a bitch she ain't about to write. I'm perpetually smoking weed. It's me rolling, I'm sorry, I'm tapping out. Room 25, the best album that's coming out. Labels got these niggas just doing it for the clout. I'm just writing my darkest secrets. Like, wait and just hit me out. Saying vegan food is delicious. Like, wait and just hear me out.
I ain't been at home in a minute. My landlord been getting pissed cause I barely count as a tenant. I'm overseas with the yen and shit. And I can't recall the last time that my live show was intimate. The price for the show just went up in addition. The tickets that they didn't figure it out in 2012. So I just said fuck it. Cause we can drop all our albums ourselves. Yeah, I just said fuck it. Cause I know I got the gift like an elf. And been rapping raps around them like I'm a belt. That's ting, not ginger beer. I whisper in the ear. Since I left the road, I got more hits than a deer. A dollar in a dream like I'm Jamaican. Main in the bill, you stand up or fall prey. Shout out the NFL, purebred delicatessen. Dan, I really can tell it. I do not fall under pressure. Cooking a bed for contestant. I just raise the bar. I look at the with a measure. With little to no effort, I thought I'm gonna be messed up. Bless up.
That was Don't Forget About Me and Ace from No Name on her new album, Room 25. Some solid stuff right there. And my man, I talked about Saba when he dropped Care For Me. And it's still one of my top albums of the year. And he just killed that feature verse. So yeah, if you liked what you heard there, go ahead, go listen to the album. If you've never heard of her before, I would definitely recommend maybe starting with Telephone first. I think that is a slightly better project, but this is definitely worth a listen as well. So we'll get into our second one here now. And we're talking about East Atlanta Love Letter by Black. It is spelled Six Lack. So if you hear me say, address this guy as Black, and you're confused, and you don't know who I'm talking about, and you know of this other man named Six Lack, we are talking about the same guy. Yes, it is spelled like that, but it's pronounced Black. So, just so we're clear, I get that out of the way early. He's a 26-year-old rapper/singer from, you guessed it, East Atlanta. This is his second studio album following Free Black from 2016. That featured hit singles like Problems and X Calling, which you might recognize. X Calling being a remix of Future's Perky's Calling. And that will not be the last time I name drop Future. I feel like he had a lot to do with the influence of Black. And he also has a feature on here, so you'll hear his name moving forward. But that was a solid debut. I liked it, but I honestly enjoyed the bonus tracks he released about a year later more than the album itself. So he definitely didn't capitalize on everything he does. On Free Black, he established himself on these seemingly like slow motion trap beats. The bass and the snare, every element of these songs hits at like a quarter of the speed of your generic typical trap instrumentals. It's very slowed down. And he's usually singing these love songs over this murky, spacious production with a generally static vocal tone. And it's like, all right, this is who Black is. And I do find this alternate dimension of time where things seem to move like molasses and instrumentals seem to create canyons of space to be really cool. And when he comes through with his soft-spoken R&B crooning, it seems to fill such a small portion of the volume surrounding him. It makes him seem very vulnerable, just this tiny voice in a much larger world. It definitely creates that like drugged-up atmosphere similar to a guy like Future, that sound that he preyed off of. And it definitely shifts your mind state too, slows you down, pulls you in. But unfortunately, I like the vibe and the environment he creates more than maybe how he operates inside of it. And on this new album, East Atlanta Love Letter, there are a lot of faults that come more from his writing side than the actual performance of the tracks or the sound of the tracks. It seemed like in an album where he was trying to really get the most out of himself and dig into his inner self, we barely were scratching the surface. A lot of things were just nondescript. And it all revolves kind of around a quote that Black actually put out about this album. He said, quote, "I wrote this album for those with difficulty expressing themselves or their love. Communication is key, and over time, it's proven to be my biggest obstacle." And I gotta say, I 100% agree. Because he did have trouble communicating on here. It was his biggest obstacle. He didn't express himself well. A prime example of this would be on the title track, East Atlanta Love Letter, where you get dope vibes from Future adding sweet assisting background vocals. I thought the independent auto-tunes they both use really meshed well when they were singing together on the hook. But on the chorus, he says, "Who gon' love better? Nobody, because I say so. And my words hit like a Draco. Nobody gonna love you better. You know why? Because I said so." Really? That's your why? This is your why no one is gonna love you better, and your answer is because I say so. Like, we've both said that response, we've all heard that response, and it comes when you don't have a good answer, you don't have the words that you're trying to say. So no, your words do not hit like a Draco. They're barely hitting at all. It's very incomplete. Then also on the closing anthem, Stan, he opens by saying, "I'm going to write you my best song," and then proceeds to sing super basic lyrics, climaxing with him saying he wants her to love him like a Stan, just like he loves her like a Stan. Such a strange word choice. Stan has kind of a negative connotation to it, and it's too much. It's like too overcrazed of a fan. And maybe there is some truth to that in this relationship that he wants, but the fandom aspect of it is just super, very non-intimate. You know, no girl wants to hear you say, "I love you like I love watching my favorite sports team." Yeah, it's a form of love, but like not the one you necessarily want to liken a human relationship to. Like, newsflash for all the gentlemen out here listening to this podcast, if you tell your girl that you love her just like you love watching the Patriots play football, spoiler alert, that's not gonna cut it. Like, you know, like that's, they don't want to hear that. So for him to use that word choice, it just was really strange to me, especially when the song is titled Stan. Like, he's so set on this. This is the closing anthem where the whole album wraps up, and that's what it comes to. It's just so many underwhelming moments like this where details and impactful moments are just the opposite. They fall flat more than they hit home. The features on here were interesting to me because, again, they were very non-committal as well, because you got guys like J. Cole, Future, Offset, like big names. And so maybe you're thinking this is going to be like a feature-heavy album. He went out and grabbed these guys, you know, kind of just as big fish to get on his album. It's not a big deal if they maybe don't suffice to the environment he's created. But then J. Cole actually does, unexpectedly blends nicely into Black's world. Soft-spoken, melodic Cole was a cool change of pace that I didn't know Cole could hit. And Future, I already mentioned him, he performed well. Offset was just all right, but like, it was confusing to me to see him try to work these big names in, like instead of grabbing maybe guys like Earth Gang or JID or even like Young Thug, who also is a big name, but like more low-key guys that maybe fit the vibe he's going for more than these big fish that he went out and grabbed. Of course, with the exception of Future, who's right at home on these tracks. Not to mention, he absolutely incepted us into believing Young Thug would be on here. He titled the track Thugger's Interlude, but then he didn't even have Young Thug on. It was just, he had a line about Young Thug, so I guess he called it that. Actually had me pretty upset the first time I listened to the track. But over time, I actually accepted that to be maybe the best song on here. And I love when he's talking about how all he wants to listen to is trap music. If he can't dab to it, he doesn't want to hear it. He's trying to kind of escape the more like In My Feelings type tracks that he's been living in. And he's like, but here I am again with another slow song. And he sees himself as a hypocrite who can't really escape his inner feelings and at least trying to speak to them. And there are some good moments on here. The song Disconnect is nice. Pretty Little Fears with J. Cole is a good track. Where he does, like, Disconnect especially, because that's what the album is all about. Lack of good communication. Having trouble expressing your feelings to people around you. But for the most part, a lot of tracks have the same initiative, the same style and sound. I didn't think Black got in his pocket too deep as far as his vocal range. The first track, Unfair, he does try to get into like a higher like falsetto pitch, which was nice to hear him try, but then that was really the first and last time he tried to switch things up. And overall, the theme of having trouble communicating isn't good enough to abolish the faults of him actually suffering from that on the album as he tries to explain it to us. So I don't know. This is a tough one, but my favorite tracks would be Thugger's Interlude, Pretty Little Fears, East Atlanta Love Letter. My least favorite tracks were Stan and Sorry. And I would recommend this if you like Bryson Tiller, T-Pain, or Future. And overall, I'm going to give this album a 6 out of 10. Largely in part to the vibes. I really like the atmosphere he creates. And it was enough to make up for some of the faults and keep this at least a moderate rating. So I'll play my two favorite tracks. And that would be Pretty Little Fears. I won't be playing the Cole verse, so if you want to hear it, go find the song, listen to it yourself. I would highly recommend that. And I'll also play Thugger's Interlude, So Here They Are by Black from East Atlanta Love Letter.
Do better, who better, you better. Been around like hella, propellers. Wanna know who you with? Don't tell them. Come on, fellas. That ain't none of your biz. Got on your bodysuit, you know I'm on your ass today. Would you let me hit it thrice if I asked today? She know my state nothing but magic, bae. I be swinging it back and forth to you in your casket, bae. Mm. Girl, you on my best side. Mm. That she from the west side. Now I just wanna know. Don't you sugarcoat. I'll say it all if you want. Tell me like it is. Pretty little fears. Use it to my ears. Okay, say it loud, say it proud. You want it more. We open door, hit the couch, then the floor. I cut it up like a scissor, love galore. She never bored, there's so much shit we can do. You free to say whatever, baby, if you asking me. No limit when I'm in it, got a masterpiece. I'm hoping I don't have a fast release. Got me focused like I'm out here trying to get my master seat. Mm. Throwing up the peace sign. Mm. Girl, I'm from the east side. Mm. Girl, you on my best side. Mm. Bet you from the west side. Mm. Don't you sugarcoat. I'll say it all if you want. And could you tell me like it is? Pretty little fears. Use it to my ears. Now I just wanna know. Don't you sugarcoat. I'll say it all if you want. Cause here I am with another slow song. I'm a hypocrite singing like a nigga doing no wrong. Ever since I got me a chick, I got a chick. Them digits really had them bitches coming for your name.
You just heard Pretty Little Fears and Thugger's Interlude by Black from East Atlanta, Love Letter, an album where, despite two of those tracks which are very good, he just didn't quite capitalize on all the potential and talent that he does have. So hopefully next time I'm still going to be readily awaiting more Black music in a year or two. And we'll see if he can regroup and come back with something harder hitting next time. And I mentioned in the open that I did attend the KOD tour when it came to Hartford this last Wednesday and had a phenomenal time. So I'm just going to throw a couple of my takeaways from the concert at you guys and pretty much break down why J. Cole is a great performer and a great concert to go see. So first off, I want to touch on the opening acts real quick, which they have a killer lineup for this tour. You get Earth Gang, who are the most recent signees to J. Cole's Dreamville label and have dropped some phenomenal music that has gone criminally underrated. Please go check out Shallow Graves for Toys by Earth Gang, album from, I believe, 2014. One of my favorite albums of the decade, honestly. I find these guys to be like the outcast of the new generation. Admittedly, not quite on that level, but I do think that their best comparison, duo to duo, is, you know, Earth Gang to Outkast. And please, if you're going to a concert, do your homework. At least run through like a couple songs that the opening acts are going to do. Because I felt bad for these guys. Dude, they were up on stage. The whole floor seats were just sitting down. They were chilling. They were on their phones. They were waiting for the action to get started, even though it had already started. And I guarantee you, if some of these people had done their homework, knew who Earth Gang was familiar with their songs, they would have loved their performance, but instead they were just hanging out, sitting around, waiting for stuff to get going. They were on and off quickly, but they did have a great performance. They performed songs like Meditate, Red Light, Artificial, all from their three EP series that spanned like the past year or so, which included Rags, Robots, and Royalty. But then moving on, we got Jaden Smith, who, if you've been a long-time listener to the podcast, I actually was a big fan of his album Sire that came out in 2017. It's a very polarizing album. Some people loved it, some people hated it. I was closer to the love side. I think Jaden Smith is talented, so it was cool to see him get out there. Of course, he did Icon. He performed that like twice, which the crowd absolutely loved. I was surprised to see people weren't up for Earth Gang. I was like, maybe this crowd just sucks. And then Jaden Smith came out and people were hyped. I was surprised to see how many people really wanted to see Jaden and were excited to hear his songs. He had a pretty quick set. I mean, he did more of his hype songs. He had good stage presence, but the biggest reason that I liked Jaden Smith and his album Sire was more for the more of the emotional cuts that were on there. And he didn't really perform any of those. He did like a minute of one of them and then just like dipped to the next banger, which I understand. Like, you got to keep the energy level high. You can't pull people all the way in like that, especially when you're not the main act. You got to get in and out. You got to get people listening to your music. So I get it, but it wasn't my favorite performance. I would have liked to see him do other stuff. And then we got Young Thug. This man, the guy is a legend. Like, he was really up there for his entire set, looking like he didn't give one fuck, rocking like what it was like a cardigan sweater vest. It looked like he knitted it for his grandmother, and instead he wore it to a concert, which is hilarious. He's such an out there guy, such one of the weirdest rappers out today, and one of the most unique. He delivered some great slappers. He did Digits, he did Check, he did Killed Before, and his outro track he did was Lifestyle, probably the one everyone knows him for best, and even did a lot of songs where he would rap other people's verse. Like, he did About the Money by T.I. and did T.I.'s verse, or he did like Lifestyle with Rich Homie Quan and did his part. So that was cool to see. It didn't seem like Young Thug really cared about being there that much. It was just like collecting a check to him, but either way, he got the fans and the crowd into it. I was feeling it. I liked his performance. But now we're moving on to the main act, J. Cole. This is his tour following his new album, KOD, which, quick recap, I did run through and did a review on when it dropped back in April, I believe it was. Yeah, it was on April 20th, actually. So if you want my thoughts, go back, listen to that episode. But that's the album that J. Cole, obviously, this tour is named after, the one he performed the most songs from. And I like a lot how J. Cole interacted with the fans. He had a lot of like speeches after songs. He was really trying to connect with the audience and like deliver this message to them. It wasn't overly preachy, but he was definitely, you know, kind of on a soapbox at some points. And he was really trying to explain the meaning behind KOD, why he made the album. And it's all about, like, people coping with pain. And he sees a lot of people turning to substance abuse or money or sex or this or that instead of, like, dealing with it head-to-head and actually getting to the roots of it. And that's one of the reasons that I do think J. Cole is one of the best artists of this generation. Does he make the best music of all time? Probably not. I think his highs are very high, but he does have some low moments. He's not the most consistent. But what he does do is he's always trying to generate a message that's bigger than himself. It's more than just him making a check from rapping. And he extends that into his concerts. He really was, I think it meant more to him when he performed on Wednesday night to, like, for people to leave the arena feeling the words that he said more than having a good time and turning up. And, you know, it's ironic because a lot of people go to concerts to get drunk or get high and have a good time. And ironically, like, that's exactly almost what KOD is speaking against. Not that it's bad to do those things by any means, but his message is that that's not the answer if you are sad or upset or in pain or, like, you're going through some shit, whatever. And then on top of that, he was just a great performer. I mean, he played some bangers. We had tracks like he played ATM and Motivate back to back. He got into, like, his hit section where he played, like, Workout and Can't Get Enough from Sideline Story, which personally aren't some of my favorite songs, but a lot of people in the crowd were loving him. Those are, like, the hits that really blew him up that a lot of people knew his name from. So that was cool. And he did, like, do a lot of songs from a lot of different albums. I think he only did one song from Born Sinner. He did Power Trip, so he did do one from that. But he did a lot of songs on 2014 Forest Hills Drive, For Your Eyes Only. Obviously a lot from KOD, multiple songs from The Sideline Story. So you did get a scope of, like, J. Cole's whole career. It was a long set, like 24 songs or something like that. But I would highly recommend going to this tour if it's coming to your city or you have a chance to get out to it somewhere. Definitely do so. J. Cole delivers much more than just simply a rap concert. There's, you know, a larger message and larger ideas to everything he does. And that's one of the reasons I really appreciate him as an artist. And quick reminder, please do your research, know the opening acts, so you can interact with them, have fun with what they do, and support them. Because a lot of musical acts, and obviously I'm deeply trenched in hip-hop, so I see millions of them, that just don't get the credit and the love and the attention that they maybe deserve. So it's a good chance to learn about new faces. And if you do your homework, you would know that one of the opening acts, Earth Gang, just dropped a new song last week. And guess what? It's the song of the week. They dropped this song, Stuck, featuring Aaron Ray, just last Friday. I believe it came out September 21st, something like that. And it's in classic Earth Gang fashion. They're clearly very inspired by, you know, a guy like Andre 3000 to keep their flows more melodic, very animated, a lot of voice inflections. And their southern accents make their voices just very distinct. And this track specifically, Stuck, kind of has this, like, hypnotic bass line to it. Like, they're addicted to this person they're talking about, stuck to you. It's like a fun, woozy trip. And, I mean, damn, that bass line is, it's, like, groovy and, like, really on some trying to incept my mind type shit. So it's been heavy in my rotation, getting a lot of repeat listens. So I'm going to throw it the Song of the Week honors, and I'll play it for you right here. This is Stuck by Earth Gang featuring Aaron Ray.
I'm stuck to you. I'm sorry I can't. Promise I won't hurt you no more. Don't leave me.
G, just wait and see. Who grabbed me by the collar, made me make him holler. I should've reconsidered, I know. Niggas ain't shit, well, you ain't lying. And I hate to be let go. So in this night line, said I apologize.
I'm stuck
to you. I'm sorry, I can't get through. I'm stuck.
Time did this verse spit it half ass. I wasn't in the mood, goons get emotional too. You angelic and high, got me closer to you. Summer night, stargazing, Frank Ocean and shrooms. Girl, you drive me boo, boo, coo, coo. Fucked around on you, even though you down to fuck bitches too. It's nothing that you won't do. Mama ain't read no fool, well now I guess that ain't true. I'm in and out of symbiotic situation, shit too often. Never finish how they started, used to fuck you in the carpet. The floor is high lava, Hawaii tickets we always talked about. I guess I'm finna go without you like forgetting Sarah Marshall. Marshall and Kim and them for a minute. Depending on who you askin', you ask who you dependin'. But what we been through ain't nobody business. My love for you is infinite.
So that is Stuck by Earth Gang featuring Aaron Ray. Some fire right there for Song of the Week, as we always do. And Earth Gang, they do have an album coming out. They're signed to Dreamville, and it's been announced that their album Mirrorland will be coming optimistically in 2018. Even when I was at the concert on Wednesday, the KOD tour, there were advertisements on the screen saying Mirrorland coming soon, Dreamville Records. So I got to imagine it's right around the corner. I think we're going to get J.I.D.'s DiCaprio 2 first, quickly followed up by Mirrorland by Earth Gang. And I hope they're on each other's projects. They work so well together. Their track Division from J.I.D.'s The Never Story last year was a phenomenal collaboration and expression of their talents. So that's some stuff to look forward to. And a quick recap of new music that we have got. We got some new music announcements here. Last Friday, September 21st, we got Iridescence by Brockhampton, the long-awaited follow-up to their Saturation Trilogy, even though they don't make us wait that long, but still long-awaited, I guess. We got Drogas Wave by Lupe Fiasco, an incredibly deep, long, conceptual album from Lupe. We're going to break both those down, Iridescence and Drogas Wave, on next week on our next episode. We also got Budding Ornithologists Are Weary of Tired Analogies by Milo. A mouthful of an album title, but very fitting for the man with a mouthful of words, the largest vocabulary in hip-hop. We got 15 by Bad Baby, Role Model by Young Dolph, Binge by MGK as he shamelessly tries to squeeze out a project to capitalize on his hype, and On the Run EP by Young Thug. Just today, September 28th, we got the longest of the long-awaited albums, the most anticipated album, like potentially of all time. It's been on the shelves for like 6 years, 5 years minimum. Carter 5 by Lil Wayne. It has come. The king is home. The Carter 5 is upon us. Never thought I'd see the day, but it's finally here, and it is an incredible journey. Attempting to keep pace next to it, we got Young Sinatra 4 by Logic, Elephants on Acid by Cypress Hill, The Sword by Andy Mineo, a follow-up to his EP earlier in the year, Light, Gangin' 2 by SOB times RBE, and coming tonight, it hasn't dropped yet, but it should be coming out Saturday, Friday night, somewhere in that time frame, is Yandi by Kanye West. I am so scared and so nervous for what this project is going to be, but I'm also insanely excited to listen to it. And as Kanye tweeted, the world needs Kanye West and Lil Wayne music at the same time. It's only fitting. Those are two guys I grew up on. Two of the guys who introduced me to the rap game. Two of my all-time favorite artists. And it's going to be an awesome week with both of them releasing new music this weekend. I'm already prepared to crown September the greatest month of 2018 for hip-hop. I don't even care what October, November, December. Keep it. You already got bodied by September. Don't even try. Don't try it. But if we got to look forward, some music we can't expect on the first week of October, next Friday. It looks like we're getting some new music from Dave East and Styles P. Also, Mozzie, Atmosphere, and Ghostface Killa and T.I. All right, October may still be in the running. Those some big names right there. Some stuff I'm still definitely excited for. So we'll recap all of it. We'll figure out what drops, and we'll recap it next week on another episode of the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. That's a wrap for today. I'm your host, Kyle French, signing off. Thank you all for listening. Please subscribe, leave a rating, follow me on Instagram. You know the drill. I'm just trying to keep you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm no expert, just an enthusiast, just like you. Feel free to hit my line, have some conversations, talk about music, albums, artists, whatever you want to do. I'm game. But in the meantime, until next week comes, listen to that Carter 5. Trust me, the GOAT, he came through, he delivered. But that's all I got. I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.